proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mark Richardson, Relator. May it please the Court. Your Honors, this case comes to the Court on prohibition, where the circuit judge had entered a reduction of two involuntary manslaughter sentences and two assault in the second degree sentences arising out of a DWI traffic crash that killed Gene Olson and Tobias Olson on November 4th, 2007. And the statute that was in play is 558.046. And that statute gives a specific grant of authority to a circuit judge to reduce a sentence under certain narrow conditions. The condition at play in this case is that the defendant must be convicted of a crime that did not involve violence or the threat of violence. And Relator urges the Court to find that these crimes, based on their statutory definitions, do involve violence.
What's the definition of violence?
The legislature did not define violence in the context of that statute. And so
in any context, is the legislature defined violence?
It has been defined in other contexts for cases. These statutes that are at play here, involuntary manslaughter and assault in the second degree, are under the Crimes Against Persons Chapter 565. They're crimes that the two involve death. And the two others involved assault in the second degree. The court has defined,
I was just going to say, under what circumstances has the court defined violence?
Well, the court has defined it in the context of statutory aggravating circumstances as felony manslaughter, as a serious assaultive conviction, and assault in the second degree as a serious assaultive conviction. The Southern District has...
Generally, we go to the dictionary definition if the legislature has not defined it. What's the dictionary definition of violence?
It is to cause a force on another person that injures them is one definition, Your Honor. And the definition for involve is to wrap around or surround with that item. And so in this case...
But the statute doesn't say use violence, right? It says involves violence.
Correct, Your Honor. This statutory language, which is very plain by the legislature, it says, quote, convicted of a crime that did not involve violence or the threat of violence.
And does that distinguish it? I read the Sykes versus United States case, and it talks about whether or not DUI conviction involves violence for federal law purposes. And it says in federal court, deciding whether something's a violent felony, they employ the categorical approach. They look at the fact of conviction and the statutory definition, and is violence an element of the offense? And they find it's not for federal purposes because there's no intent on the person's part. It's not unknowing. It's a reckless crime. And they suggest that reckless crimes don't fit within the federal definition of a violent crime. Does that definition and that approach apply here, or do you think that under our statute you use a factually based approach in deciding whether or not the crime involved violence?
I think you use a factual approach of what the elements of the underlying crime are. And here, it's not a DWI conviction, but an involuntary manslaughter conviction, which required, under Missouri law, as you know, criminal negligence, which was, in this case, driving on the wrong side of the road, caused the death of two people.
So you would say under either approach, categorical, also it involves death, so inherently would involve violence.
Yes, Your Honor. And also I would say there is some guidance from the Southern District Court of Appeals in Moore versus Sweeney, where this specific issue, a specific issue under this same sentence reduction statute occurred. And in that case, it was a robbery case. And the court, Southern District, looked to the language of the robbery statute that contained the element of threat of force. And they said because it contained the element of threat of force that the reduction was not proper. And because the authority of a judge to reduce can only come from the specific statute, there is no jurisdiction to reduce it, and prohibition was the proper.
But there's no claim there's any specific intent to kill these poor people. It was a... The threat issue is, I don't think it's in the, what threat are they involved in? There's no mens rea threat. The question is, was there violence committed? And the issue of death alone, there are sadly countless issues of medical malpractice where people are dead or wrongful death, and they're not considered violent offenders and prosecuted. This requires something else to Some actually relieved from mens rea because manslaughter doesn't have specific intent.
Well, that is true that the defendant did not set out to kill Tobias and Jean Olson that morning, or set out to kill or plan to kill them or injure Mr. Olson or the daughter Johanna. He did not set out to do that, yet he did purposely drink. He became impaired, intoxicated, and is driving on the wrong side of the road. Driving on the wrong side of the road while intoxicated does pose a threat to all the motoring public that's in that area, or pedestrians on the side.
Does your case rest partly on the fact that he was driving a car, which is potentially a dangerous instrumentality?
Your Honor, it does, in the sense of the involuntary manslaughter, which has been termed in court opinions is causes countless slaughter and mutilations on our highways in this state and country. And the use of a ton and a half or 2-ton pickup truck that's on the wrong side of the road that collides into a car, opening it up, throwing the victims, one of them out, instant death, injuring the other so that the death occurs shortly later, and then injuring two others is a violent act as well in terms of this statute. And it involved, under definition, it involved violence all around the crime of involuntary manslaughter and assault in the second degree.
And is that the difference in the federal U.S. Supreme Court case that says where someone was killed someone while they were driving while drunk, that was not a violent crime because it was reckless and did not involve knowingly or intentionally injuring someone, but our statute requires that the crime involve violence rather than be a violent crime.
Your Honor, the legislator submits that those federal cases talk about the, quote, crime of violence, and the crime of violence was interpreted in the federal system as meaning use of force. The use of force.
Purposeful or knowing use
yes.
of force.
And our statute does not say that the court has to find that it was not a crime of violence. It says the court has to find it did not involve violence. And I submit to the court that that's a big difference in the language used in the statute, and that our Missouri statute makes it very simple that for a judge to give a reduction, that judge has to find it's a crime that did not involve violence. And how could a crime that involves two deaths, felony crimes, and felony crimes that involve assault in the second degree not involve violence? The act occurred directly into their car and killed them. And that's a violent act. And because our definition is not couched in terms of crime of violence, but did not involve violence, that's an important distinction that makes the federal cases not really persuasive, should not be persuasive to the court in this instance of our statute that says did not involve violence.
And the judge gave no reason for why he reduced the charges.
His order said that it recited the statute and said the elements of the statute. He found the elements of the statute were met. Simply said that. And also in terms of the reduction, the sentences were reduced from 15 years on involuntary manslaughter to 7 years. And on the assaults, they weren't reduced. I make the argument they weren't reduced. They were vacated. The convictions were vacated, and a court suspended imposition of any sentence. And so it wasn't simply a matter of reduction at all on the assaults in the second degree. But yes, Your Honor, the judge did make a finding that just said the statutory elements were met and listed those elements.
Well, the death alone wouldn't necessarily satisfy. I mean, you can have death, in this case, physical use of force, and you have violence, but you could also poison someone and kill them and allege that there's no physical force involved, no actual violence. So the death alone is not sufficient. It has to hinge on the physical use of force.
And in this, the statute defines that as that the defendant for the manslaughter has to be driving a motor vehicle while intoxicated, cause death of another with criminal negligence, here driving on the wrong side of the road. And so that causing the death has within it, in our statutory definition, violence. And
he was convicted under a statute that was specifically focused on driving while under the influence?
Yes, Your Honor, 565.024. that while in an intoxicated condition operates a motor vehicle, and when so operating acts with criminal negligence to cause the death of any person not a passenger in his vehicle.
So you're not saying every involuntary manslaughter crime would be involve a crime of violence, but one that involves driving while intoxicated does. I mean, there could be situations like poisoning if you poison someone by putting the wrong thing in their drink or by accident.
I would respectfully disagree that
that
poisoning a body has a violent act upon that body. It violently brings the heart to a stop or brain to the stop.
However,
and that there's violence.
If you go to the dictionary definition that says cause force on another, the poisoning doesn't have any force, I think, as Judge Draper said.
It's always up to courts to define the words. But there is a force that somehow gets that poison into the body, and that body acts, that poison acts on the body to cause a force. There's a force that the poison causes to stop the heart.
And do we need to agree with you on that to decide for you?
Do not on this case, no, Your Honor, because in this case, the case, as I said, is surrounded by the violence of this defendant or Mr. Welch's actions on the victims by driving drunk, crossing the center line, which is with the criminal negligence, and colliding with a car, causing the death of the two passengers in the car and injuries to the driver and the other passengers. So that you would not need to, you don't have to go further than just look at this statute in this specific instance to rule that does this crime that the defendant committed not involve violence? And the relator asserts that it certainly involved violence. Direct violence onto the people, and the force of a car colliding with another car to cause the death is a tremendous force of violence. And
so you want us to define violence. How would we define it?
In this case, the cause the death of another by colliding with that person's car, and that is a violent act.
But you're assuming the definition by saying that's a violent act.
Well, it's an act that caused the death. It's a force was applied to this car by someone who is on the wrong side of the road impaired. And that force of that approximately 2,000-pound car hitting the victim's car was force on the victims. And because our statute doesn't have any specific definition for crime of violence, which our statute doesn't say, it just says involved violence. And if that's the case, then the court has no jurisdiction to reduce sentences in a case where it's a crime of violence that involved violence.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. You have some time on rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Please, the court.
You may proceed.
Morning. The argument of relator in this matter essentially defines violence as a result-driven definition. If somebody dies, it's violent.
Counsel, let me give you a definition out of Webster's dictionary. It says violence is defined as exertion of physical force so as to injure or abuse. Do you agree that that defines violence?
I agree that that's the Webster's definition. The standard before us is what does the statute 558046 mean when it says involve violence,
right. And it doesn't
or the threat of violence, and it doesn't.
So we go to the dictionary.
Well, actually, you can do something before that. There is some statutory or some case law that sheds light on this even within the confines of Missouri law. And the relator recites to the case Sweeney, the case that it's X. Rel. Moore versus Sweeney. And that was a case that determined that 558046 wasn't going to get the defendant his desired sentence reduction because that defendant committed the crime of robbery second. But why was robbery second an excluded a crime that wasn't going to get him where he wanted to go? Well, it was because it was a forceful, purposeful act. They define 558046 in terms of purposeful, forceful, violence directed at another.
But does the statute require that? Because it does use peculiar language. It doesn't say a violent crime or a crime of violence. It says a crime involving violence. That seems to direct us to look at the facts of the particular crime to see if it involved violence, as opposed to the categorical approach the federal courts take.
Well, the categorical approach that the courts take doesn't avail any relief to relator. The courts uniformly, there is no federal case post-Begay that allows any case to be defined as categorical or otherwise a crime of violence or a violent felony where it involves the mens rea element of recklessness or negligence.
Well, how would you define involved violence?
I would suggest that you define it the way Sweeney did. Sweeney said
What dictionary definition did the Sweeney court use?
I don't know that they used any at all.
But aren't all of our cases say if it isn't defined in the statute that we use the dictionary definition? I mean, there's hundreds of...
As regards statutory interpretation, obviously,
and that's
the
what this case is about, right?
But it also was permissive, not mandatory.
It's not. And I agree. This isn't a case where the courts haven't weighed in on the question. Now, to parse it out with the phrase involving violence or the threat of violence and to suggest that that is substantively different than crime of violence or violent crime is, I think, creating a distinction that may or may not exist. There's nothing in the legislative, in the act of the legislature in 558046 to suggest that they're using it in a way that is any different than any other use in the statute.
But they could have said a crime that has as an element, you know, violence or defined violent crime, but this involves, you know, violence is an unusual sort of lay kind of term.
Likewise, the legislature could have said if the crime involved harming somebody or killing somebody or hurting somebody, there's a many easy ways for them to have reached the conclusion that related
or
that.
Or they could say dangerous felony. We have a whole list of those. But
this is not as dangerous.
Right, no, I understand. But doesn't it suggest, since they just said involve violence as opposed to purposeful, dangerous, all those other words that they use in other contexts, doesn't that suggest that they meant something different?
No, I don't think so at all. In fact, involved violence, as argued by relator, means that somebody died. A jaywalker who's intoxicated darts into the street and a car swerves to miss him, and people die as a result. Does that involve violence because somebody died and there were automobiles that collided?
Well, that's not part of what you have to prove to convict him of that.
Well, no, but the point is he could have been charged with involuntary manslaughter in that case because he was publicly intoxicated and jaywalked.
Well,
I mean, it's a ridiculous argument, but I offered for that purpose to take the definition that's being offered by relator is to create the possibilities like that, that it is so broad that it captures all manner of conduct that wouldn't otherwise be seen as violent crime.
We aren't compelled to use the dictionary definition, but we certainly have the right to use the dictionary definition, and that seems to be pretty reasonable, which is not as far as Mr. Richardson might argue, but it talks about cause force on another person that injures them. Is there a different dictionary definition of violence that is more appropriate to this interpretation?
I don't know of another dictionary definition. What I am aware of is that the federal courts have grappled with the same argument that you're posing here and have chosen not to impose that broad and generalized a definition of violence in the context of whether a crime is violent or not.
They've implied that you have to have violence as one of the elements, and it has to be intentional and not reckless.
Purposeful.
But, well, purposeful, intentional, knowing, but something greater than reckless.
And more importantly, they specifically have rejected all arguments to the effect that negligent conduct, regardless of its consequence, is going to get you violence. It is not treated as violence. And I think that is
a reasonable... So you are saying there's something different than the dictionary definition. You're saying look at the federal definition of...
Well, I'm assuming that the federal courts are familiar with dictionary definitions and find that that is particularly, in these cases, not particularly clarifying of how one is to consider crimes involving violence.
So if we take your definition, would manslaughter ever be considered violent? Because there's
voluntary manslaughter would.
Well, involuntary manslaughter, would that ever be considered violent?
I haven't had a. I can't.
Remember, we have to define it for the whole state.
I know that the federal courts have refused to find involuntary to be violent. Now, does that mean that there isn't a case, for example, I think one of the suggestions that was made about poisoning or something like that, an accidental poisoning, that sort of thing. I don't know if there could be a case where that would apply or not, but I don't think that the definition that you're toying with adopting helps you in that matter. It broadens it so much that everything could potentially fall under the category of violence. If somebody dies, then it becomes violent. It is, under the statute 55846, violent. But the court in Missouri that has dealt this directly dealt with robbery. Now, there are federal cases that have dealt with manslaughter. There are federal cases in the Eighth Circuit that have dealt with vehicular assault. Assault second, essentially, in Missouri statutes. And they've interpreted Missouri's manslaughter statute, the federal courts have, and they found it not to be a violent crime. It is not a crime involving violence.
And did the federal cases look at the crime, nature of the crime, versus the fact situation of the individual?
Yes. If you look at Begay, now, relators suggest that Begay isn't appropriate because Begay is a DWI. Well, yeah, that's how cases start, but they get fleshed out with much litigation that follows it. And post-Begay, they've dealt with manslaughter, they've dealt with all manner of violent crimes. So the issue in Begay involved the court going through a very lengthy discourse about the details of this particular individual's conduct and the crime that he was. This was an enhancement issue regarding the federal sentencing guidelines. And so they go back and they look at previous cases that he had been convicted of. It didn't have anything to do with the crime he was charged with at this point, but how they were going to sentence him. And they looked at all the details, and that was specifically what they wanted to look at. And in the case of, most notably, Scalia, had a very eloquent discussion of, yeah, it's got all the elements of violence in that sense, but that it would be inappropriate in that sense, regardless of the characterization of what it meant to be a passenger in a vehicle where you know, are the victim and you died. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not the mens rea element, the intent, the purposeful conduct is what the law is designed to deal with.
But didn't Begay, it did say in interpreting that it was guided by the fact that the federal law listed various crimes, including burglary, arson, extortion, and crimes involving explosives, and said that illustrates the kind of crimes that are within the scope, and those are ones that inherently involve violence, and a DUI does not, and that's why they would, unless it was done with some additional evidence of some sort of intent or purpose, they didn't think reckless conduct fit within it. So we don't have that partial listing in Missouri.
No,
so is our analysis therefore different?
Well, relator attempted to make that kind of analysis by pointing to, I think, a probation. I forget what it was he referred to.
But I'm
they
just
find
saying,
certain
under
crimes to be violent. And so I think that was a resort to something. But the federal courts, post-Begay, have dealt with that issue as regards the specific indicator crimes that are mentioned. And again, post-Begay, those crimes are not, even though they're indicators, involuntary manslaughter, because the indicator was manslaughter. That was one of the crimes that was issued in one of the cases. Involuntary is different than voluntary. And post-Begay, there are no courts that have held. There's no dispute about it. Even the government, and the case of Osana, which is referenced in my brief, even the government came back to the court and abandoned its position, arguing that these could be used for enhancement purposes under the context of it being violent. And the court in Osana, and this is a 2011 case, indicated that there is nothing to suggest post-Begay that involuntary manslaughter gets you the violent connotation for enhancement purposes. purposes. But there's a more recent case out of the Southern District of Illinois. It's not in my brief, but of course it wasn't one that struck me as particularly significant until Relator's reply brief. And Relator's argument in reply brief was Begay doesn't apply. Well, I just reject that. I don't think that you can just throw Begay out. Begay is enlightening to the issue of interpreting 558046. It's a similar type of interpretive analysis. But the case that I'm referring to is Salazar. And that's a Southern District Seventh Circuit case in 2012. And that is a manslaughter case exactly like we're dealing here.
And can you provide a copy of that to opposing counsel and to us?
I can, Your Honor, yes.
Before your time is up, would you address, even if we are persuaded by your interpretation of what is a crime that involves violence, there is also the argument that the action taken by the trial judge was beyond what the statute allows, which is the statute expressly says reduce the term of any sentence, and what the trial court did was vacate a sentence and turn it into a suspended imposition of sentence.
Well, I'm not sure why the court did what it did. I would consider that, in effect, a reduction of sentence.
That's a hugely significant difference.
Well, and if it's remanded,
the effect of the.
And if that's the court's position, then it can be remanded to the court to do what the court was attempting to do by reducing the sentence to a suspended imposition. Okay. If you'll recall the. The assault cases were five-year sentences that were run concurrent with each other but consecutive to the manslaughter sentences. And the sentencing court, my belief is that the sentencing court did what it did in order to have the assault cases be subsumed under the sentence under the manslaughter cases. And there's a lot of ways to do that if that's what the court was inclined to do. And on remand, that may be what the court would do. But the issue of whether the court abused its discretion, I don't think that's the case. I don't think they were anywhere close to that being the case, given the facts before this court as regards that statute. That statute says what it says. The only case law that exists suggests that it's not an abuse of discretion for the court, the trial court, to reach the conclusion this is not a violent crime, and that if that is what the court concluded, I don't think you can say it's abuse of discretion. You may disagree with it, but the statute itself doesn't obligate one to the conclusion that
whether or not a crime fits within this, isn't that a question of law, and what his action he took would be something within the discretion of the trial court.
Yes, if this court were to conclude that manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, or assault second is a crime involving violence, then obviously you've now made law. The problem is that is not the law at present, and I don't think it ought to be for the reasons that I briefly.
How many reported Missouri manslaughter cases are there?
How many? Excuse me.
Is there a case like this that's already been decided based on this crime?
No.
This would be the first impression of manslaughter
being applied to the context of 558046. Also, I think it would be the first use of assault second in that context. There is, however, in the Salazar case.
Are there any reported cases from the Missouri Supreme Court dealing with this statute?
I think Sweeney's it. And I think Relator agrees. Initially, when we were going through the process, it was a very difficult thing to, and surprising, but difficult to realize there were no cases. And so we did have to resort to the recourse to the federal cases. And they resorted to federal cases and have cited to them. I cite to them. I believe that that's the way we should proceed in this matter. And that to adopt a different position is to broaden the application of 558046 in ways it creates unfortunate consequences, and I would encourage us that the court not do that.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We're out of time. And
just briefly, Your Honors, the Relator urges the court to make its preliminary writ permanent. And I wanted to say one last thing. The thing that the respondent does not have here is a section of this statute that says this would not include cases except for intended violence or purposeful violence, like in the federal system. That's not here. So we're left with a crime that involved violence, which these crimes did. Thank you very much.
Mr. Richardson, I have a question. Opposing counsel suggested that the Sweeney case was a case out of this court, but my recollection was it was a Southern District case.
It was a Southern District case, yes, Your Honor.
Did you find any cases out of this court interpreting that?
I did not find any case interpreting that.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The matter will be taken under